It's the Rush Hour with MG, Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Now, MG, normally when there's people we want to speak to or ideas we've got, you and I think the idea and we set producer Charlie to work. That's how we roll on the show. It's a great dynamic and it's been successful across the 100 shows thus far. Mm. But this week and beyond this week, even earlier than this week, you have been on a mission. You've been texting back and forth. You've been sliding into people's DMs. You've been really driven to get our next two guests into the studio with us.
And I'd like to thank them for it because they've gone through a lot of hardship to get here, through tolls, over traffic. These two men are starting to be real good role models in the western suburbs of Sydney, where I'm from. Everyone knows their names. Everyone can relate to them because they're such down-to-earth men. And they're kicking ass in the UFC, which is the hardest company in the world as far as fighting goes. I talk one of Tyson Pedro, the light heavyweight, 15 in the world?
13
in the world. There you go. I haven't updated my stats. And big Bam Bam. Tied to Avasa, 10 in the world now.
Nine.
Yeah,
We're close.
Gee, when you go to all this effort to get blokes in the studio, the least you can do is...
Sorry, buddy.
Close enough.
Gentlemen, welcome to the Rush Hour with MG.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you very much for having us. We're happy to be here.
Now, who got the first message from MG here? Who did who was lighting up on Instagram? Who was MG hitting up? Because he loves... This is a Western Sydney Hall of Fame show. Everyone we get in here, everyone who's done anything of any success from Western Sydney, MG's like, we've got to get him in. We've got to celebrate them. So who did he hit up first?
He got in Ty's DMs.
He's been sliding in for a while.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't mind.
Oh. Well, my young bloke went to school with Bam Bam. And
he's got a blue tick, so...
tick and shirt off in the profile. That's it. That's all you need.
You know, once DM you see accepted. Blue tick, your DM is straight in.
Now, these boys, tell us, okay, let's first start with you, Tyson. Background, go through your what school did you go to? Because your father, John, was credited with bringing MMA to Australia. Yep. So growing up as a young bloke, where did you grow up and when was your first foray into MMA?
We were in Cranbrook and Kingswood. And I think we originally started out of our garage with MMA. And that's where James Tahuna, Tama Tahuna started. And then we started going training at Henry Fulton Public School in Cranbrook. It just kept going and going from there. Like, I've been training since I was a kid. With Jamie, the same thing. Both of us, we've been sparring with like UFC fighters since we were young kids. So
wow.
It's a 16-year-old who was punching my head in then. So
when was the time when you said, oh, I might be able to make money out of this, make a career out of it?
I don't know. It was never about money at first, but like when you get in there, then you realize, wait, we can make money from it. But I think that's what the original thing was. It was never about money. I just wanted to do it. At first, I wanted to do amateur boxing, and dad didn't want me to go down the martial arts road because when he brought it over, it wasn't making money. It was frowned upon. So he was trying to keep me away from it. But, you know, when a parent pushes you away, you end up going in harder.
Same thing for you, Bam Bam. Is it a similar road to Tice? You know, how did fighting first grab you?
Born at Nepean Hospital,
yep,
Kingswood, raised Western Sydney, same as you, Mount Druitt, Shelby, Kingswood, Penrith, everywhere.
Mm.
Footy was my first sport I played, and as you know, everyone around West Sydney, you know, always just playing footy, and that's what we did. But I always loved the blue, and I loved getting into a fight, so whether it was on the field or off the field, so and then. Yeah, it was just a point in their lives where my friends were getting in trouble and myself, and I said, should I give it a crack? And I thought I'd go and have a fight with some people who knew how to fight.
What age was that at?
16, and then 16 a bit, 17, and then I had my first fight.
Wow, was it scary?
No, it's really
liberating.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I love getting in there and fighting. Obviously the you know, the training bit and you know, and everything else. But I had my road all the way to where I am now, you know. I haven't just always been been like this, you know. I've stuffed up a few times, but never held me down, you know, just keep going.
We're speaking to you two guys off the back of a weekend where, there was a historic moment with Daniel Cormier and what he achieved in the UFC. And then there was a less than flattering moment with the other co-main fight that happened on the card. You guys obviously watched it yesterday, I imagine, over the weekend.
Yep.
What'd you make of it? This is, I mean, because Ty, especially for you, this is your division.
Yeah.
And Tyson's, because Cormier was
Cormier fighting above,
yeah. I don't see him getting back to light heavyweight.
No, I don't
I'll
think
just see him on the weekend. No. He doesn't want to cut that
weight. No way.
Ty, what'd you make of that?
Well, all of the hype that was built around it and obviously their previous fights before and whatever else, you know, you would expect. Well, everyone was expecting, you know, fuck, it's gonna be fireworks. But after that, it looks like old France is gonna be back on the shovel.
Are you far away from fighting one of these blokes?
Will be now. Won't be now. They'll chuck him in now. 100%. They have to. They really want the fireworks. They want it. They'll give him the shot, and he'll take it.
Oh, well, like of course I'm gonna fight him. They're the exciting. Well, they're the exciting guys in the division, like myself. So. Once the money's all sorted, I'm ready to fight them all. But after that, you know, I think we need to throw some fireworks back in there in the heavyweight division.
There's it's like a lot of people might not understand as well. Like even though it's no excuse, when you see two professional fighters like that, what they did, it comes to like a stalemate. You got two guys that know that they can knock each other out with one punch. One's ranked number one, one's ranked number five. There's a lot to lose on the line for both of them. If he loses that, he might not get another title fight for after three fights. So a lot of it goes into that mentality, and the difference with like football is if one guy's having a bad game, you might not notice it because he might be able to slip away with it. But when it's that guy having a bad day, it's only him they can blame.
So that fear, though, of you know, if I lose here, this is my opportunity gone. What does the UFC need to do to, I guess, disincentivize blokes from going in and having that sort of a stalemate fight?
Well, that's what they try and do with the bonuses by saying, here's the performance of the night bonus. But other companies now are saying, even if you finish the fight, no matter how you do it, we're giving you a $5,000 bonus, which is a cool idea as well.
Because
then you're coming in to bang no matter what, if everyone knows they can get a bonus.
Yeah.
So what's the city of Chicago like? That was you, Chicago, yeah.
Chi-town.
Didn't really do much.
Didn't seem that much.
No. I stayed a bit out of town. Really, just because it's so expensive. It was so expensive, and obviously we're not making not making millions yet. You know what I mean? So I stayed a bit out of town, which was all right. You know, away from everything, but bloody traffic was full on.
I was just like Sydney.
Full on, no, worse.
Worse than Sydney.
Yeah, 3 hours, 3 hours every day. I was all a couple
expensive
ways
in Chicago expensive. Compared to Singapore.
Oh, Singapore.
That's next level, man. Next level.
Singapore that thinks it's both. Dubai.
Yeah, they got us bad. They got us from every angle. They're just getting us from everything.
$140 for the buffet,
and we got to pay for our team. So imagine, I'm a light heavyweight. We haven't got small people on my team. I got my dad who eats more than him.
I actually got stung. I got the worst stinger. I got a haircut.
Oh.
Got a haircut in the lineup, and then I went to go pay for it, and he goes, "Oh, $100."
$100.
I said, "You little." I said, you tell someone when they sit down, not when they're leaving.
Surely you knew when you're getting the head massage and the shampoo.
I said you could have gave me a tickle or something.
When he was doing this, you surely knew it was coming.
Just close your eyes.
I know.
OSP, your last fight,
got him.
You had the bastard.
Yeah, I did.
Had him. What happened?
And that's the same thing coming back to mentality. You know, as soon as I walk, I watch the fight back. I watch back and I go, that's where I had him.
Yeah.
And that's those little seconds, those little instances that you feel in the fight that you're doing the right thing. The fight before that, so people going, oh, he was too tall for Tyson to do that choke. The fight before him, Latifi choked him out with the same choke.
That's right.
Latifi's 5 foot nothing.
He's in the nugget.
Yeah. So, you know, like in the back of my head, I go, this is how you lost last time. Grab onto it.
Wow,
go for it.
Okay.
His head pops out. And then everything we practiced, I did. And then just fell straight onto a position that he's really strong at.
So what we never really see in the UFC is after a fight. You know, we always see the press conference and stuff, but who immediately comes up to you after a fight, after you've won or lost, and says, no one.
Really? No. There's only the people that really like you. That's about it.
Everyone
my
does.
Mom, my wife, my dad.
Everyone does the old smoke bomb.
Everyone goes, oh, that's him done.
Far out. Is that brutal it is?
So...
Winners are grinners, losers eat shit. Yeah.
Everyone loves winners.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's the people in the UFC that like you. They obviously know what they want, and they want you to fight as soon as you can as well. So I'm not injured. I'm ready to get back into it. So
you kind of put your house up for rent. You go, okay, I'm ready to roll. Next available. If
they know you want to fight, they'll offer you to you straight away. But it's like light heavyweight. There's not many people in them. That we got like the thinnest divisions.
As John Anika says after the fight, who are you calling out?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what they want you to
is
do.
Is there someone you'd like to fight?
Not yet. There's no one at the moment. There's two guys that pulled out, but I haven't been training, so I've taken them on short notice. Now it's getting to a stage where I'm not getting paid enough to jump in last minute for, against a top 10 guy. They've been training 8-week camps.
You need at least that.
How do you then get that top 10 fight? As 13th ranked, do you have to lobby for it with the UFC?
I always take the top 10 fight. So I've fought two top 10 guys now, Latifi and OSP, and now they're both ranked 5 and 6, I think, or something like that. And the only thing is that, they offered me OSP or two other guys who are way outside, and I'm going to take the top 10 every time. I don't want the easy fight. I'd rather take this loss on my record against one of the badasses rather than...
Mm. So for the novices out there listening, how does that... Because is a loss against a high-ranked fighter better for you than a win over someone who, as one of those
better
others...
Better for me, but not for business.
Right.
Mm. I'd rather that. I want to fight the hard guys. I only want to fight the best. But it's not good for your record, and UFC wants clean records.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
So
I think with the record thing, I think everyone's... I think it's the sport's suffering from it.
Yep.
Especially on the local Australian scene, it's everyone wants to train, then they want to get a fight, and then straight away someone gets a fight. What's his record? Who's he won? Who's he beat? You know, I think if you're worrying about that, I don't think it's the right sport.
Well, that's
to
the
be
thing.
Honest.
People are trying to keep that zero record because that's what the UFC wants. The last Ultimate Fighter was only unbeaten fighters, so only if you had a zero record.
Wow.
But unfortunately, that forces people into picking their fights because they don't want to take a loss, so they won't fight some of them.
For the people picking their fights, I think you might pick it, and then when you get to somewhere where you verse someone good, you're going to look like a dickhead.
Lying on your resume.
That's
what it is.
Exactly.
Well, your last fight was Arlovski, who we spoke to you before the fight, and even though you sounded cool over the phone, I suppose it would have been a little... bit of trepidation fighting someone so experienced. Obviously you're young and up and coming, and he's been around a long time, but he's still a beast.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's a horse. I've fought a horse before and I've got pumped, so I don't really, you know, when I fight guys like that, I don't expect anything, and I don't expect to go out there and finish it like other people. But I took a lot from that fight, and I think that I won't be fighting three rounds for a little bit in a while.
Before we get onto your podcast, which is the Half Calf podcast, taking Sydney by storm, Australia by storm, the world by storm, if you had to finish this sentence, what would you say? In 12 months' time, I will be?
A millionaire.
Tyson?
A daddy.
A daddy?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I thought we had a really exclusive
there. Careful with my wife. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not trying.
Okay. I
love
it. Hey, Ty, are we still seeing on your nose there? There's that stump of the remnants from the Arlovski fight?
Oh, you're slack bringing up his mole. He's got his bad conscience about that.
No.
Not the Cocoa Pop.
Well, my friends call it Cocoa Pop.
I was not pointing at... Hey,
I see you laughing.
If anyone, he's pointing at producer Charlie here. If anyone has... We'll put a photo up of the four of us later on.
He's going to circle it.
So zoom in on his Cocoa Pop.
No, what I was going to say is guess who's not calling anyone out in this studio? There's someone very obviously out of their weight division in here. But no, I mean this because there's still a little bit of swelling around the nose and around your eye there. Is that still from that amazing photo you put up?
Yeah, I got a cut on the
That was early, wasn't it?
Cut early in the yeah. fight on
and
the
it's
nose,
like flattened it a bit.
Hey, that was him.
They're brother-in-laws, man. They're brother-in-laws. They can get away with more.
Copped the cut on the nose and that just got copped a few stitches.
Yeah,
but other than that, I think one of the blood vessels in my eyes probably busted. Yeah.
Reason I ask is because that fight's a month gone now. You're a month recovered from that fight, and there's obviously, I mean, how does your... I'm so nervous. Tyson, you made me so nervous. What I'm trying to say is that how's your body recovered from that fight? Because as you said, you're not going to, you know, it was a grueling fight.
Yeah.
And we're a month out. Like, would you be ready to go if the right fight came up in a month's time, or...
Probably not.
No.
I've been on the piss a bit, so So that doesn't help.
He's had fun, didn't you? So, yeah, oh, yeah. Wow. I love watching your Instagram stories.
it's hand in hand, you know. We work hard. We spend a lot of time away from each other. So when we get the time
that was the first time that we had seen each other, my family, everyone was there. So all those people that come over to Singapore, they're like, oh, why pardon us for loss? Like, I wasn't partying because of the fight. I was partying because that's the first time I see my family.
Yeah, so win or lose.
I know, it showed. You took over the whole nightclub.
Yeah, we usually do.
But it's interesting, the win or lose thing you're just saying there, because we had Robert Whittaker come in after his recent win, and he said the same thing. He's like, win or lose, I do the same thing. I go, bit different to you guys. He goes back to the hotel room and plays video games with his kids. But
yeah, Rob's very different to us. He's a champion. He is. He's got a belt.
But that's what he was saying though. It's obviously the same mentality. It's business. Like win or lose. Yeah, you celebrate the wins, but you don't go into a hole when you lose. You still, you know.
So I don't jump around when I win. Don't jump around when you lose.
I usually go hard after every fight. But after that last fight, my fight. Tired. I was stuffed.
Yeah.
I've never been three rounds or none of that.
He needed a break.
And I don't know if the security guards are going to let me in. Imagine me rocking up after that.
Where you been tonight, mate?
Nah. two toilet tissues in both nostrils.
Running to the wall. Running to the wall back there. The old running to the door.
Fell down some stairs on the way from the hotel.
Now, you boys are entrepreneurs in a way because you're thinking about life after fighting, and it's a great thing to be doing because if you're listening to this interview and check out their Halfcast podcast, about eighth one dropped today.
Yep.
Getting more and more experience every time you can see that you're getting more. You cooked a barbecue in the latest one. That's how cool. That's how casual you're getting. Like that's how at home you feel.
We're trying to mix it up.
I'm right at home. It's in my backyard.
How'd it start? Andrew Fafita on recently. One of your first ones.
He's pretty much our like co-host now for
He's bumped his way in.
He snuck in. He's doing it.
He's gone. I'm a half cast too. I'm jumping.
He's put himself on. We just got our picture done for the logo today. We'll show you in a minute. And he asked for like how he's gonna put in he joins in when he jumps on.
We have to Photoshop him in the back.
Just draw this fat as.
Yeah. So Andrew Fafita's on board the podcast now. Unofficially,
we're still talking about it. Right.
We got it.
A bit iffy on him.
A sit down vote.
He's always in the headlines.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have that Origin money now, so he's looking to get on board.
That's why he's unhappy with us because we snuck into the Blues training squad and he wasn't there. So we'll send him videos.
That's right.
Now we spoke to Spud Carroll because he did some stuff with the Blues boys before game one, I think. Who you boys did a bit of training with him? You jumped. Who showed a bit?
We didn't show anything. We just jumped in the session. Drisco used to be my Roosters trainer as well as Hayden Knowles and them boys. So we've been friends with them for a while, and they just invited us in to
I know you can show stuff. I wanted to know if any of the Blues players showed.
Oh, any of the Blues, yeah. All the black fellas.
All of them got hands.
Yeah. At our cars, for sure.
Don't we all?
What's a little Jimmy?
Jimmy the Jet.
Yeah, they got.
That's what your mate Spud, he said. Josh Addo Carr had good form, good movement.
Well, Josh's grandfather was
Wally Carr.
Yeah, and he was
Fox.
He was a boxer. He's an Australian.
50-something knockouts.
Wow.
I think it's like 100 or something.
100 fights, 57 knockouts or something like that. Something crazy.
Wow.
Back in them days, you could just do the old, just had 600 fights.
Yeah.
I'll do that now.
No gloves.
No gloves.
Yeah, no gloves. All the gloves were those like bag mitts.
I'm going to preface this because I'm nervous about saying the wrong thing now. Digital Tony, heard the guru who's going to give you some advice about your podcast a bit later. He told me to ask this, just in case it's something I shouldn't be asking. So he's the one. Explain to me, Ty.
Grab onto your balls.
Yeah, exactly. Explain to me what phase two is.
He doesn't know.
That's the thing.
That's it.
As long as you're talking about it, that's on.
That's what it is.
We're
phase
two. You got your shirts made up. Phase two.
You like that, eh?
They only wanted to know what phase two was so that they could start saying phase two.
They wanted to jump on board, but no one knows what it is. That's the best thing.
No, 100%. I'm with phase two. So to answer your question, Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Phase two.
It's an idea. It's the vibe.
Exactly.
I love it.
Well,
we're going to have a segment every night called Phase
it's
Two.
It's an understanding.
Yes.
It's an understanding.
Mindset.
It's a mindset.
A mindset.
Phase two is a mindset.
Phase two.
I love it. I want to get back to the podcast for a moment. Who, talk us through, for those that haven't heard it, if unlike phase two, which has no limits, explain to us what the podcast is. What are people, for people, give us a reason to go and subscribe and give it a listen.
Oh, there's definitely no limits on that podcast. Okay. That's gone bigger than Joe Rogan.
Yes.
Bigger than, they'll have us in that office next week, something.
Studio 2, they're doing it.
Good.
It just started off as, like I said, we had got together and we're like, man, we should just get on the thing and just start talking shit about fights.
Yeah.
And we're just going to start talking shit about fights and like pretty much teasing, to be honest. But we're like, if we just roast, people think that we're not like that with ourselves. So we started with our own fights.
Mm.
And we're just like, we bag out our own stuff, then they won't be as cut if we start bagging out other people's stuff. And then we got on people on as guests and we'll just have a laugh. And I think it must have just been because of the, I don't know, the comfortability, or it sort of like let their barriers down. And then they started telling the stories that maybe they wouldn't have told before.
Yeah.
So,
but definitely that. Definitely that. That's the thing. When you've got blokes who are around you who are, you know, affable and they know... The people who come on know that they're going to have a good chat with you and you're not going to stitch them up.
Yeah.
They'll keep coming back.
And that was the whole point as well. Like, the reason why we first got Andrew on was he was so, like, over the media, just mixing up and telling whatever their side was. So he just wanted to get on there and tell his side.
That's it, clean slate.
So that's what we figured, that's what it's going to be. Bring out everyone that has an underdog story and more.
Wow.
I didn't think that it was a thing.
As you can tell.
He's doing a TV show. Oh,
I didn't.
Well, that's phase two.
MG,
you're taking all their ideas, mate. This is what we're smashing our
place
playing.
Around.
You're knocking down cameras.
Oh, no. He's smashing the place around.
Wow.
Amazing.
The boys. The boys are here. They came, they saw, they kicked ass as we thought they would. Tyson Pedro, Tai Tuivasa. Anytime you want to come through these doors,
welcome
boys.
Welcome anytime.
You're more than welcome. We love you lots. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.